communication overload, and leveraging technology. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Oh, and I have a book review. My name is David Guerin. This is the Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 73. And thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening. Again, like I said, I'm going to talk about leveraging technology and communication overload. I know it's kind of like two extremes, but hey, we'll talk about it and you'll see where I'm coming from. Now, this comes from the Leadership Minute videos that I do on YouTube. And if you're not following me there, I do invite you to follow me there. And the links are on the show notes page on my website, daveguerra.com. And click on the media or go to contact and you can see how you can get a hold of me there and follow me on YouTube. Well, let's get into this. I talked about over the past 2 weeks on the Leadership Minute, since the last time we talked, leveraging technology and communication overload. Now, leveraging technology, I'm going to move that to the end because I want to put you in a place and then we're going to go from there. Communication overload. I mean, we have email, text, Twitter, Facebook, Google Hangouts, Vine, Snapchat, Instagram. I'm missing something. I know I'm missing something. Oh, no. What am I missing? Instagram, Periscope, Blab, Meerkat. There we go. All those other ones. Kick, WhatsApp. Let's see, what else are we missing? I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. Yahoo Instant Messenger, remember that? There's just so many channels out there. There are just way too many channels. And if you use multiple channels as a communication tool, well, you know, you run the risk of, for one, being on the wrong channel at the wrong time. It happens. And if people are using those channels to communicate with you, and any number of channels to communicate with you, you could be missing information. And there's also even greater opportunities for misinformation. Think about it. I mean, it's all these channels and people are broadcasting in all these channels. I understand we have to be in all those channels at all the time, it doesn't matter. We have to be there. But we can't be there 24/7. There should be one that, well, you know, we should pick one and stick to it. You know, is it Twitter? Is it email? Is it Snapchat? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook? Facebook Live now? Google Hangouts? Blab? Meerkat? Periscope? Which one is it? But you need to pick one. One is kind of your primary go-to one. I mean, I know people that there's just a lot of individuals that love Periscope and what it brings, and that's what they use as their primary point of contact. Then there's others that still love Twitter and use Twitter and live on Twitter. And then there's others that are like, well, you know what? Contact me by email. That's your best bet. Or drop me a text message. And that works too. However, we're only one person. We're only one individual. And we can't be at all places at any given time. So I recommend that you use one as a mandatory, this is my primary, this is it. You'll always get a hold of me this way. You know, I like email. I like Twitter, especially trying to get a hold of me. Texting, well, I don't always give out my number. Sometimes I really don't like giving out my number, but sometimes I'll do it. And if you followed me on Twitter, you know I've given it out maybe 3 times the entire time I've been on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter and you want my phone number, you can find it. Now, I just gave it away. But again, you know, Google Hangouts, Facebook Live, they involve coordination. Sure, you can broadcast the message and put it out there and people can come back and play it and listen to it. But again, is that really effective communication? Are you able to do dialogue versus monologue? And isn't dialogue what it's all about? Two-way conversation, three-way conversation? Because monologues are great, such as this podcast, but it's when I don't hear back, then it just stays a monologue. And we need to hear back from each other. We need to say, hey, you know what, Dave, you're right on, or you know what, Dave, that's terrible, and here's why. So it's strictly up to you. But like I say, I recommend you pick one and stick to it. Make it mandatory. Share it with everybody. Put it as your primary contact in your business card. Yes, there's still business cards out there, folks. And again, just write down, you know, best way to contact me, you know, handwrite a little note, thanks, but best way to contact me is by, and then email or Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Make it mandatory. Share it with everybody. Share it with everyone you know. Because again, if they need to get a hold of you and quickly and effectively, they'll go the route you want, as opposed to just maybe writing, doing a Snapchat that you might get back to later on tomorrow or before the 24 hours expires. Same thing with Periscope. See, personally, I drive people to my email. But if they have to use other channels, then I do try to get as many of those other channels as possible to notify me by email. And I like email. Same thing with voice messages and stuff. They go to my email. So no matter where I'm at, I'm always checking my email. I'm checking it on my phone. And if there's a voice message at the office or there's a voice message someplace else, well, guess what? I get that. I get that notification. And I can hear the voice message on my email. So understand that communication overload exists. It does exist, and it's out there. It's crazy because there are just so many channels. And it's like I said, you could be on the wrong channel at the wrong time. You could be missing information, and there could be misinformation when there's just so much out there and you can't be at all places at all times. But effectively managing them and controlling how you want your information, your primary contact information to go, you can really, really manage it and control it and win on this one. Now, let's look at the other spectrum. Leveraging technology. Business owners, department heads, group leaders, team leaders, section leaders, division leaders, CEOs. There are plenty of software apps and utilities, services, and other utilities out there that can be used to help, well, to help you and your organization, especially if you have remote employees or you have employees that spend more time traveling than they do at work because of what the nature of your job is. But there are great tools out there. Great free tools, paid tools, and in-house customized tools that are out there, and they can be used for anything and everything with dealing with your organization. See, like I said in the video, and I'm going to say it here, I use the Google Docs. I use an in-house bulletin board system. And again, we use that strictly for business side of things, not the nitty-gritty of what we do. No, but we're talking the business side, timesheets, communication, setting up meetings, that stuff, appointments, calendars. We use those for those things. But as far as the nitty-gritty, deep-down project work, no, that's strictly very, very controlled. We don't put that out anywhere, especially on Google, Docs or spreadsheets or calendars or Hangouts. We don't do that. But we do use them for collaborating and sharing because it is easy, because it is effective. Because, again, we can do local and remote employees can be communicating with each other in real time or near real time. Now, that's great. But when it comes to free versus paid versus in-house, well, there's something you need to know. One, nothing is ever free. Nothing. See, when you use the free services like the Google apps and stuff, well, again, you give up some privacy to use those online services. Because, again, they still control the service. They are the owners. Just because you're the user doesn't mean you own anything. Remember that. That's the downside of free. Now, you also get, well, the other good thing about the upside of free is that the uptime is always almost always on. And the support level is limited because, again, it's free. Now, with free and paid, you also give up control and customization options. Okay? Now, these are paid services. Say you want more security behind what you're doing, those services that I'm talking about. Well, again, you give up control and customization because, again, they're just selling you access to a controlled, secure, deeper secured, more private area. Not anybody can be given access to files like you can, say, in the Google Docs. Okay, you can share those files as the owner, you can share them, but again, you can restrict who has access to them and who doesn't under the free or under some free apps and under paid apps. But the control for the most part is maintained by the provider. Now, with paid services, remember this, you get near constant uptime and support. You're going to get some downtime, but you get priority as because you're paid, you're going to get support, more support than free support, than a free user. Now, if you decide to bring in these apps in-house, you know, set up your own server, set up your own calendar server, your own messaging server, well, you get privacy because it's behind your firewall. It's within your system. It's not out there in the cloud, quote unquote. It's in your cloud. Now, you get full control and full customization of those applications, services, and software. However, uptime and support is dependent on what and who you use to provide that service or support. So should the network go down, you know, there you go. You lost connectivity to your remote users. You lost connectivity. Well, say, for example, you force all your employees to do all their work on the cloud, quote unquote, on your in-house cloud. And everything's uploaded to the network and everything sits up there in some server in some building. But for some reason, the network is down. The internet's down. Well, now nobody has access to their work because you force them to be on the cloud. Now they cannot access the cloud. They cannot do the work. They're down until somebody comes in and fixes the problem. Something to think about. Now, I'm not a proponent for that type of work. I am not a proponent for that because, again, it forces you to be in a place you really don't need to be. Yeah, sure, you have 99.99% uptime in best case scenarios, but what happens to that 0.001% time when it's all down and nobody can do the work? You're totally sitting in a life raft, floating out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, waiting for some spotter plane to maybe fly by and help you out. But eventually you do get rescued, and that's fine. But what I am a proponent of is let people do the work on the equipment you bought for them to do the work on. Let them store it there. However, how about synchronous backups to the cloud? That's an idea. So if something does go wrong, computer does crash, guess what? The backup is up and running. The backup is up on the cloud, and now they can access it. And the vice versa. If the network goes down, they can still continue to do work. Imagine that. Wow. So again, folks, there's communication overload. And then, of course, then there's also leveraging the technology to minimize that communication overload. Because, again, you're forcing them to use these specific services, these specific applications for their specific needs to communicate back to you on a level that, well, it's not like trying to hunt somebody down on the phone, not trying to wait for an email to come back, not trying to anticipate how to resolve an issue and how to get work done. But you're forced to work in an application, in a service, in an app, software, and everybody uses it, and everybody contributes, and everybody collaborates, and everybody shares, and everybody basically now can rest assured that everything that's going on is going on in one spot, not scattered out throughout the internet. So there we go. So that's leveraging technology. Use it to your advantage. It's out there. It behooves you to try stuff out. I'm not saying the first thing you find, and I'm not advocating for Google Docs or spreadsheets or calendars, but what I'm saying is do not be afraid to use what's out there. There's a reason, and there's a reason it's still out there. Give it a shot. Okay, as I said at the top of the show, there's a book review, and today I am going to review the latest book by social media wine guru, master of the universe, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, wannabe owner of the New York Jets. I'm talking about the one, the only Gary Vaynerchuk in his book, hashtag Ask Gary V, One Entrepreneur's Take on Leadership, Social Media, and Self-Awareness. Brand new book just came out a couple weeks ago, and awesome book. It is, was it done by Harper Business? It's an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. There are 362 pages total, of which 344 are pure Gary and his team. There's a crossword puzzle, and there's a very handy-dandy index at the back of the book. Folks, if you are not watching the YouTube channel, Gary Vaynerchuk's, or at Gary V's YouTube channel and following the Ask Gary V show, you're missing out on a gem. You're missing out on jewels. You're missing out on priceless artifacts and diamonds that are being put out there, that are being generated by his public, by his fans, by those that follow him, those that question him, those that don't follow him too as well. they ask questions from business to family to legacies to influencers to venture capitals to starting up businesses to creating applications 8 months from now or 6 months from now and what to do today. And it runs the gamut. I mean, this guy, he answers, if you, again, it's just like he's taking his video show, and he's put it in a book. He just took not everything. I mean, the book would be much bigger, huge, thicker, heavier, a little bit more expensive. But, you know, these questions come from the field. These questions come from the people. And here's one. If you were to tragically die today, how well would VaynerMedia do long-term without its CEO? Have you been satisfied with Wine Library's performance since leaving to focus on VaynerMedia? Now, VaynerMedia is Gary Vaynerchuk and his brother AJ's media company, and they've left Wine Library. If you followed him, he was a big Wine Library TV guy. He did daily videos on wines, and trust me, those were good videos. I learned a lot about wine because of it, and so he answers the question. I remember this question when it was out in the video. I forgot the episode, but I remember when it got asked. And his answer then varies like just so slightly on the answer that he does now. He amplified a little bit more. You know, if the DNA of a company stems from the top, then it makes sense that it will stagger if something happens to a key player. My brother and co-founder, AJ, is ridiculously capable, but I'd assume if something were to happen to me, he'd be pretty torn up. He'd better be, anyway. And knowing him, it's possible he would wonder whether that was any point in continuing. So it would not surprise me if it were other people in the team who insisted on keeping the business going. We've built an interesting culture, and I think in the end it would survive and eventually thrive again, especially once AJ was ready to take the helm, if he chose to. So he took this question, and he answered it. Personally, at a personal level, if you reach deep down inside and really, really looked at things and who would step up. And I can imagine as he's answering the question, he's already picking out in his mind who those individuals are from the organization that would want it to keep going. And he gives a realistic assessment of what he believes his brother would do or what he wants his brother to do. But the rest of the other questions and the other answers are just like this. He reaches deep down inside and pulls out of his experience. Now, he's only like 40 years old, okay? I've got a good 10 years on him. But what I'm getting at is that he knows his stuff. And this book is a little gem. It's a jewel. And because, again, he covers a wide array of topics, a wide range of topics, and he doesn't pull any punches with him. He will answer them. Music, sports, wine, self-awareness, investing, management, leadership, gratitude, influencer marketing, Facebook ads. He really gets into Facebook ads. Folks, if you're using Facebook or you're not using Facebook, something to get into. I'm just now personally at the tip of using all in on Facebook ads. I'm afraid that by the time I go all in, it'll be time to go all out. So I need to accelerate the pace based on what's going on in this book and what he talks about in his videos as well, in his video series. Jabs and Right Hooks. And if you've not read the book before this one, Jab, Jab, Right Hook, basically it talks about give, 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 then ask. And some people say, oh, you know, give like six, give away six and then ask for one. And then there's some that believe in that 20-1. Give away content 20 times and then ask that one time and then start again. All perfectly well, all fine and dandy, but it depends on who you are as an individual. And that's kind of what he's saying here. He's giving you, in this book, Gary Vaynerchuk gives you his impression of what's going on and how he sees it, but he doesn't tell you this is the way I need you to do it, or this is the way you should do it, or this is the... No, he's just telling you what he sees and what he's done, and it might work for you and it might not. It just depends. I know a couple of things he's done and I've tried do not work for me, and that's okay. But you know what? One of the things that he does say to do, and something that everybody has said to do, something from the very beginning of of me doing podcasting back in, 2000. Yeah, it was the fall of 2000. And that was to, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. I was doing a high school football podcast series back then, and high school football in Texas. If you know anything about high school football in Texas, it is brutal. So jumped on, dove in, couple of friends of mine, two of my friends and I, we just dove in and just started doing this. Folks, the only problem that I see that, you know, unfortunately, because I guess it happened to me and it hasn't happened to him, is I went into business with friends. And that's the one thing that people have always warned me is never do business with friends. But then again, you don't want to do business with enemies either. But so I've been skeptical and hesitant to do business with friends and family because of that. Because those two guys were great friends, and now we're no longer friends. Their vision and my vision was something totally different, and it happens. But in this case, you know, if he's got his ducks in a row, he knows what he wants, and he's been sharing his vision 100% of the time, constantly, then anybody who's on board is because of the vision he shared. And that's a good thing. Again, I recommend this book, if not for anything else, but for the value that in it. It's like it says here, One Entrepreneur's Take on Leadership, Social Media, and Self-Awareness. Sometimes we need a sounding board. Sometimes we need to say, hey, look, what would somebody else in my situation do? And, you know, it's in here. And if it's not in here, wait, because there's another book coming. And if you don't want to wait that long, then go back and watch the video series, the Ask Gary Vee Show. And it's on YouTube. And you might just find your answer there. Because, again, these questions come from all different angles, 360 degrees. They don't all just kind of come from the same place, same person. He's got some great followers, and he's got some followers that are also, not to alienate them, but how do you say it? Let's see it one way and only one way, as opposed to what he's trying to show you is that there's 360 degrees of how to see things. And, so again, to each his own. Works, what works for you might not work for somebody else, and vice versa. So again, the book is Ask Gary Vee by Gary Vaynerchuk. Chock full of content, chock full of information, great information. It's a kind of a little, like, a very light, portable social media, life, leadership encyclopedia. And it's got a little bit of everything. So again, this is by HarperCollins, Harper Business, an imprint of HarperCollins Publisher. And check it out. It is, again, Ask Gary Vee by Gary Vaynerchuk. It's in your local bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, online, and you know what? I haven't heard it, but it is on my queue. The audio file, I hear, and from what I've seen, the little snippets and stuff, it's a little bit better than the book. So if you like audio, give that one a try too. Alrighty, folks. Well, listen, my name is Dave Guerra. I've taken enough of your time, and I will be back in 2 weeks, and we'll talk again. But in the meantime, I do appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate everything you've done, everything you've listened and heard from me. There we go. And as always, I invite you to follow me on Twitter at Dave Guerra. That's at DaveGuerra. Or visit my website, DaveGuerra.com, or the Walking Leader Podcast, which is this, and you're subscribed, so I thank you. And if you haven't subscribed and you're listening to this on a website, what's stopping you from subscribing? Down below is the subscribe button. So you've got iTunes, go ahead and subscribe. And I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a note. Listen, until next time, you take it easy. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you very soon. Thank you very much. Dave out.